This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Law enforcement in Miami is beefing up security to prepare for tomorrow's arraignment of Donald Trump, the first former president to face federal criminal charges.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. As tight as security already is here at the federal courthouse in downtown Miami, additional metal detectors are being set up just outside the 13th floor courtroom where the former president will be arraigned. The initial appearance is only expected to take a few minutes. Trump will enter a plea to charges that he not only wrongly retained secret government documents, but that when the Justice Department came calling, he conspired with his body man to hide them, even from his own attorneys.
Trump has encouraged supporters to join a planned protest at the Miami courthouse. Miami Police Chief Manuel Morales.
We're bringing enough resources to handle crowd anywhere from 5,000 to 50,000. We don't expect any issues, right? So we appreciate the public's help, everybody going out there and expressing themselves in a peaceful and civil manner.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's office confirms that tomorrow he will visit the site of the I-95 collapse in Philadelphia. Human remains have been recovered and have yet to be identified after a tanker truck believed to be carrying a petroleum-based material crashed and went up in flames. More from CBS's Stephanie Stahl in Philadelphia.
The collapsed overpass was part of a $212 million reconstruction project completed 4 years ago. A team from the National Transportation Safety Board is on the ground investigating.
Any resources that the state of Pennsylvania needs and the city of Philadelphia needs will be made available by the federal government.
Local officials say rebuilding this section of I-95 could take months. Stephanie Stahl, CBS News, Philadelphia.
A boat capsizes during a tour of an underground cavern system in Lockport, New York. Fire Chief Luca Quagliano.
Unfortunately, we did have one fatality in the incident. It is believed for a time that he was initially stuck underneath the capsized boat, and it did take some time to get him recovered.
At least 8 people were sent to hospitals. After hosting Wheel of Fortune for 40 years, Pat Sajak will soon spin the wheel one last time. The upcoming season, which starts in September, will be the 76-year-old Sajak's last. The person in charge of the New York City Police Department is stepping down, CBS's Matt Piper reports.
She was the first woman at the helm of the NYPD, and Commissioner Keyshawn Sewell sent an internal memo to NYPD employees that said, in part, "Since I joined you almost a year and a half ago, we have faced tremendous tragedy, challenges, and triumphs together." She was appointed by New York City Mayor Eric Adams January 1st of last year. No word yet on who will take over for the NYPD's approximately 55,000 members.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
News Let's is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. There were several fatal crashes over the weekend and this morning in western Wisconsin. In Rusk County, a man is dead and a woman was seriously hurt after their vehicle crashed into a road grader in Bruce this morning. The driver of the vehicle, a 73-year-old woman from Bruce, was flown to an Eau Claire hospital with serious injuries. Her passenger, an 80-year-old man from Bruce, died at the scene of the crash, according to the Rusk County Sheriff's Office. The driver of the road grader was not hurt. The crash happened in Bruce around 9 a.m. One person is dead and another person is hurt after a crash Sunday evening in Barron County. The Barron County Sheriff's Department said that a 48-year-old woman was found dead at the scene, and a 53-year-old man had to be flown to a Minnesota hospital with serious injuries. Their UTV hit a tree on a trail near Cumberland. The DNR and Sheriff's Department said that speed and alcohol were factors in the crash. And the state high school baseball championships are underway today with the Division I quarterfinals. Division IV and Division III semifinals start tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson and Wachs has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Sure to have boxes in that in a garage that open that's open up all the time. A bathroom door has locks.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like the, that door's locked all the time. You, you know, it's just amazing to me that you just sit there and go, okay. So basically, I don't know why they don't just say, you know, if a Republican does it, it's fine if the crime wasn't committed. But if it's anybody else, it was a crime. I mean, that's basically what they're saying to us.
That's what they're trying. What they should have done, all they had to do is, you know, on the doorknob, hang presidential library, and maybe it had a defense.
That is probably a good idea. But I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm so sorry that you finally caught the COVID.
Yeah.
And that your son got it, too. He's had a bad year.
Yeah.
But you have a good evening,
Thank
Rick.
Thank you, Alice. Appreciate it. No, it's been a rough couple of days. This has done, wow. This has been a beating for me. I've had colds in the past. I've been sick in the past. Nothing like this. Now, here's the weird thing, and this is a good thing. This is why I think this is important and different than a lot of points in the past. The recent Reuters Ipsos poll, 62% of Americans polled believe the charges. 62%. DOJ, understand, DOJ, they don't willy-nilly grab stuff. They don't. And they win like 99% of the time. So, going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Let's go to the phones. What's on your mind? What's your name? What's on your mind? All right, I think I lost you. Let's go here. What's your name and what's on your mind? Go ahead. What's on your mind? Listen to the phone, not to the radio.
So, going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Let's go to the phone. What's on your mind?
Yeah, are you there? Well, we'll wait till he gets around to it. This has got to be Gary from Minnesota, right, Gary? All righty, we're going to let you go then. Thanks. Appreciate the call, man. Look, I don't have a screener. You got to listen to the... You got to listen to the when I pick up. You got to listen to the phone, not to the radio. Turn the radio down when you call in. This way we can talk. But what I said is, you know, the big reality is you know, 62% of people are saying, yeah, I believe the charges. And if you read them, they lay it out pretty good. 91% of Republicans, 35%. I mean, 91% of Democrats, 35% of Republicans. That's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal in my view. And again, I go back to the, you know, the comments by his chief of staff. Chances of a guilty verdict? You know, fairly high. Fairly high indeed. Going to be interesting to see where this goes. I know Trump is whining and complaining that, oh, they're coming after me every time I fly over a blue state. There's a subpoena. Well, Florida is not a blue state. And on Tuesday, I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.
I'm Rick Smith. And this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1936. That was the day Remington Rand president James Rand boasted of a new scheme. He called it the Mohawk Valley Formula. It served as a blueprint for the future of union busting. The National Labor Relations Board called it a battle plan for industrial war. The workers at Remington Rand had walked out on strike in late May after enduring a year of anti-union harassment, threatened plant closures, and firings of top union leaders. The company used a number of dirty tricks during the strike to mislead and demoralize strike forces. In his book, The Last Great Strike, Ahmed White describes the purpose and function of the formula, writing, quote, "The scheme figured in the Little Steel Strike, as several authorities would accuse the steel companies of patterning their response to the steel strike after Rand's formula. It consisted of no fewer than 9 steps, all oriented to employing threatening armed forces, spies and provocateurs, company-sponsored back-to-work movements, and staged reopenings to terrorize and demoralize strikers. Provoke strikers to violence and discredit them. Then use the specter of violence and pretense of a state of emergency to mobilize opposition to the strike on the part of local police and courts. And finally, announcing that the strike had been broken and that any remaining resistance was the work of an intractable minority hostile to community values and the right to work. The central insight behind the formula was that violence could be used not only to drive workers off the picket lines and paralyze them with fear, but also to turn both the law and political sentiments against unionists while justifying the employer's own conduct and excluding its contempt for labor rights.
As Scottish literary giant Robert Burns wrote, "The best-laid schemes of mice and men go oft awry." His 1785 poem, titled To a Mouse, could be directed today at the right-wing sloganeers who've been scheming so furiously to turn their hokey woke snobbery into a winning political stratagem. "Your local librarian is woke," they screech. "So is Disney Inc., some of your churches too, plus all Democrats and, oh my God, even Bud Light." Creeping wokeism is the new Red Scare, Welfare Queen and Willie Horton political bugaboos rolled into one, forming the main, quote, issue of Republicans now running for president, Congress, and dog catcher. But rather than getting defensive, insisting you are not woke, consider firing back by saying, "Of course I'm woke." For the great majority of Americans, being woke is a very positive characteristic, meaning you're awake, attentive to what's going on. Indeed, in black communities, stay woke has long meant staying alert to racial and social injustices. But even some Republicans must consider it bizarrely self-defeating for their party's top candidates to be urging voters to go to sleep. GOP leaders explain that anti-woke means crusading against DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusiveness. But wait, that means they're opposing America itself, for we are a nation united under the essential principle of e pluribus unum. As affirmed by everything from the Declaration of Independence to our kindergarten teachings of sharing and fairness, ours is a country rooted in constant diversification, expanding equality, and the democratic idea that every voice ought to be included. Our country needs more of all three. This is Jim Hightower saying America is way short of achieving these historic ideals, but shame on those demanding we abandon even striving for them. Confront the charlatans.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, before we move on, let's get to the phones. I got Dick in Chicago on line one. Dick, buddy, what's on your mind?
Hey, man. First time calling. Sorry about the COVID. Hope you feel better soon.
Thank you, brother.
But
appreciate
it. I got a quick question. So, now, I haven't actually read the indictment yet. I'm planning on it, just haven't gotten to it this week. But I mean, my understanding, everything I hear, they're talking about, you know, evidence or that Trump, you know, sold or traded some of these secret documents. Well, my question is this: why did the Saudis give Jared Kushner $2 billion?
That's always been my question.
Yeah. But don't you think it has something to do with selling secrets to them or giving something to them?
That's something that should be investigated, most certainly.
I said the
first time we found out about Kushner and the $2 billion, I'm like, maybe right. Someone should look into this.
Absolutely. I hope Jack Smith is.
I'm with you.
But someone has to look into that. That's mighty fishy, yeah. You know?
I'm with
mighty
you.
Mighty fishy.
Thanks, Dick.
Anyway, just wanted to make that comment. Take care, man. You're great.
Good stuff. Bye. Appreciate it. No, I said that from the beginning. You know, when that first came out, you know, Kushner getting this huge windfall of money. You go, come on. It's not because he's good looking. Most certainly not. So let's I like getting a different perspective. I like reaching out to my friends on the other side of the political ideological divide. In this moment, I think there might be some unity opportunity, which is why I've asked my good friend Joe Walsh to come share some thoughts with us. Joe is a former Illinois congressman, former political presidential candidate, also host of the fabulous podcast, White Flag with Joe Walsh. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, you sound like crap. You should be in bed.
I absolutely, positively, 100% agree with you. I should be in bed.
There, right off the gate, we found common ground.
So let's get your thoughts on this indictment. Thoughts? We right, wrong?
Oh, I mean, look, legally, absolutely right. Trump broke the law. He committed crimes. He deserved to be indicted. He'll deserve to be indicted again in Georgia in a couple months, and he'll deserve to be indicted a couple months after that for what he did to lead to January 6th. Rick, he deserves to be indicted. He deserves to be convicted. He ought to be in jail. But having said all of that, let's not be blind, silly, and stupid. Every single freaking indictment is going to strengthen him politically within the Republican Party. This one especially.
Absolutely. And look, I've said he'll probably be convicted. I don't think he spends a day in jail. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see it. But this is one of those things where, you know, when you read the indictment, and I sat down and I picked through it, you go, the crime here is like every one of these political crimes. It's the cover-up. It's everything you did to get away with the original act. It's like, you know, when your children break the lamp in the living room, all the stuff they do to cover it up, that's what you get mad about, not about the broken lamp as much. And to me, that's always been the differentiation in this between Biden and Pence or anyone else for that matter.
All he had to do, Rick, was return the documents, just like everybody else did. But again, Donald Trump, Rick, has been obstructing justice his entire life. So it's not a surprise that he's doing it here.
Now, as I said at the beginning, I said, this is the first time, and I almost feel sorry for him. This is bad parenting. I don't believe he's ever been told no in his lifetime. This is the first time in his 70 plus years on this planet where someone has said no, and he doesn't like it.
Most certainly he doesn't like it. But again, this is serious, but we need perspective here.
Right.
He will be indicted in 2 months for criminally interfering in Georgia's 2020 election. Of that, I have no doubt. There would not have been a January 6th without him. I'd be really surprised if he's not indicted for that. Those two crimes, Rick, trying to end our democracy, are much more serious.
You know, see, here's the thing. This is where there's some seriousness in this for me as well. You know, the fact that he had these documents, the fact that we know that he showed them to people and joked, or this is what the indictment says, joked that, oh, I shouldn't be showing you this. That takes to me another level of question that I have. And as the caller a minute ago asked, you know, about the $2 billion in Kushner and the cozy relationship with the Saudis, you start questioning a lot of this stuff and the motivation and the means. And I got to tell you, there's a lot here, man.
There is, Rick. Look, I have publicly called Donald Trump a traitor for the past 5 years now. He doesn't give a damn about this country. It's why he did what he did after the 2020 election. He had some of our most sensitive top secret information down there, defense information, nuclear capability information, top secret of our allies. You and I and everybody listening to us wouldn't hesitate to believe that Donald Trump wouldn't hesitate to give that information to anybody. He doesn't care about this country.
Now, the weird thing to me, and this is where I struggle, you know, I remember a country where, you know, our division stopped at the water's edge. I remember a country that, you know, we put down our political divides every once in a while when the country was at stake. So I'm looking at the Republican Party right now and going, you know, they know that he's guilty. I mean, you got Mulvaney saying, yeah, it's bad. He's probably gonna get convicted. You got Billy Barr saying the same thing. You've got some, but the Republican Party as a whole, not so much. And I think you as a cautionary tale of when you come out and you speak out against the dear leader. And I think that's the reason we're not seeing as many people coming out and saying anything on this as I would have hoped we would have.
Anybody who publicly comes out strongly against Donald Trump is done as a Republican. I learned that 5 years ago. Liz Cheney and my friend Adam Kinzinger learned that a couple of years ago. You've got Chris Christie out there pounding Donald Trump right now. Chris Christie has zero constituency in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
It's his party. And Rick, it's his party because Republican voters are standing with him. The only reason Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence and Kevin McCarthy and all the rest are standing with Donald Trump is because those Republican voters are standing with him. That's the problem.
And how much of that is our media culture? I mean, you know, we've divided up. We're in red hat, blue hat land. Where if you wear the red hat, you got to believe the narrative. Facts be damned. It's about the story. It's about the lies we tell ourselves on both sides of the fence. I would argue Democrats are a little more fact based and fact driven. You could disagree, but you know how much of it is that narrative that they stole this from us and no fact or reality shall ever cloud that view.
You know, it plays a part. 80% of Republican voters do not believe Joe Biden won. So who's to blame for that, Rick? Are Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and the rest to blame because they feed that lie and they spent years telling their audience that lie? To a degree, yeah. Shame on them, yeah. Shame on Trump, yeah. But at the end of the day, shame on these Republican voters, most of whom were my followers and my supporters, for embracing all of these untruths.
So let me ask you this, because we've had this conversation in the past that our friends on the right, heavily armed, I keep hearing stories of, like we heard before January 6th, that they're showing up armed to protest, stacking up bodies, and I forgot what the other idiot said. But there's been a number of those kind of statements made that, Tuesday is going to be a violent day in Miami. I'm not expecting anything because I think they're cowards and I don't think that they have the kind of support that's being projected. But I'm curious your thought.
I don't think there'll be violence tomorrow. I don't think we'll see another January 6th. But Rick, we've got what, 17 months until the election? I think we're going to see a lot of violence between now and the November 2024 election. A lot of targeted violence, a lot of isolated violence, a lot of lone wolves out there. Look, Trump just got indicted for the second time. He'll be indicted for a third time. If he's not the nominee, imagine how upset his do or die supporters are going to be. This is going to be a really ugly 17 months. And America needs to brace themselves for that.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman and 2020 Republican presidential candidate, also host of White Flag with Joe Walsh. We'll get a link out on social media how you can take a look at that. But, here's the thing, and this is where I keep coming back to this moment of, this is going to make him stronger with his base, not the general electorate. That's still up in the air for me. Yeah, I think the Republican Party's already in the bag for him. How do you see this going in the general? Because as I understand, this isn't going to be over before the general election. And there's a lot of questions of what happens after. But how do you see this playing out in a general if and when he is the Republican nominee?
Hey, Rick, I actually disagree. I have a really contrarian view. I have no doubt that all of this will strengthen him in the party, but I think this could strengthen him in a general election as well. Now, a lot of that has to do with Biden and how weak I think the Democrats are and how, let's be clear, how fragile Joe Biden is. Joe Biden now has a record he has to defend. You may like some of that record, but you know, the Republicans can try to make mincemeat out of that record. Joe Biden is a communications problem. And it's this notion, Rick, as well, that appeals to people outside just the base, that Trump is being unfairly targeted. Bibi Netanyahu became prime minister of Israel, and he was indicted before he became prime minister again. I think this notion of Trump wearing this as a badge, that especially if he's indicted another time or two, that I'm being unfairly targeted. Rick, that message, even if not accurate, appeals to people beyond the base.
No, the victim card, you're right. And as I've said before, you know, no one plays the victim card like a Republican. And you, again, you can disagree with that, but boy, they're good at it.
Both sides are really good at it. In my lifetime, Rick, I've never seen anybody better at it than Trump. But again, it goes to, even though I don't like Trump and I can't stand him and I'm doing everything I can to defeat him again, I believe in I am always a distrusting of government. And so it's not a reach. I've had a lot of reasonable Republicans tell me over the weekend, it just seems, Joe, like they're unfairly going after him. Let the voters decide who the next president is, not some special counsel. I hear that from people who are not MAGA cult members.
Yeah, well, I think the voters are going to be able to do that because, again, I don't think this trial will be over by Election Day.
It won't be.
And this is the bigger question here, Joe, is, you know, at what point do you hold people accountable? I mean, we can go back through past presidents and things that have been done, and you know, they were able to, you know, let sleeping dogs lie, let's move forward for the good of the country, all this stuff. And we've never held anybody really accountable for things that they do, because we've never really had this kind of a guy who's done this much. This is the part where this is a bridge too far. This has to be tried. This has to be put out in the public. Win, lose, or draw, I think the crimes have to be exposed.
They have to be, Rick, no matter what the political ramifications are. Donald Trump is a criminal and a traitor. We've never, ever, ever had a unique threat like this. So he has to be held accountable. My God, 2.5 years ago, he led a violent attempt to overthrow an American election. If he doesn't pay a price for that legally, then we're toast as a country.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Now, I saw John Dean, who was on CNN and said that he's urging this Walt, the body man. He's saying, look, this guy needs to strike a deal. This guy needs to come clean. I fear, and this is the weird part of this, this is how I see this. If I'm him, I think you got to come and turn, because you're going to be, I think ultimately he's going to be the guy laying on the sword, spending, you know, 17, 20 years in prison for something he was told to do. So I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know, Rick, but hasn't he already testified under oath in front of the grand jury? I mean, he's still bodying Trump right now, but he's already testified to the grand jury. No. And it sounds like they caught him in a few falsehoods. Look, Rick Wilson, right? Everybody that Trump touches dies. Yeah. It just amazes me that people who've worked for him, more people, don't turn on him. For all we know, Rick, Mark Meadows has turned on him.
No, and this is the weird thing.
It won't matter. Politically, right. None of this matters.
None of it matters. And the weird thing is this is stuff I was saying back in 2015, Joe, that, you know, having followed Trump in New York, having followed his rise to attention, this is a guy who stiffs people. This is a guy who gets what he wants and leaves disaster in its wake. And am I surprised? I go back to, you know, Inauguration Day 2017 and said this is going to be, and again, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not clairvoyant, not particularly bright, but I said this is going to be the most corrupt administration in the history of this country, because just look at his business record, and he did not disappoint.
So the scary thing to wrap our arms around is And I'm convinced of this now, Rick, because I come from the world of the Trump supporter. Trump's supporters, his base, they know he's a criminal. They know he's corrupt. They know he's kind of a traitor. They want it.
Yeah.
No, they want it.
See, and that's the
they
thing.
They want all of that.
And you should say that 10 more times, because I think that's something that I struggle I struggled with for a while. I know a lot of people on the left. I know a lot of Democrats. I know a lot of Republicans. They don't believe that the base doesn't care about any of it. The crimes.
Bull crap. Not only do they not care, and I come from the base, and I still talk to these people every
day. No, I'm agreeing with you, Joe. I'm agreeing
with
you.
Not only do they not care, Rick, it's scarier. This is what they want.
Yes.
They want an authoritarian. They want a bad guy. They want a bully. They want somebody who's corrupt.
Because they want them to go after the others. And the weird thing is this is that Pastor Niemöller thing that I keep bringing up every once in a while. You know, eventually the bully comes for you. Eventually the bully takes your lunch money. But for right now, it's just the others. It's, you know, the woke or the LGBT or the minorities or you name it. It's them first. But eventually they come for you.
And they haven't thought that far ahead. Right now, the bully, the corrupt bully, is going after everybody they hate and they love it. So they've given him carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do.
Wow. I mean, just... We definitely live in scary times, but we'll see how this breaks out. What are you expecting? A last line of questioning. What are you expecting coming out of the court appearance on Tuesday? Do you think this will be low key? Do you think there'll be a lot of people showing up? The Nazi flag's going to come marching down the street. What are you expecting?
Hey, Rick, I actually think tomorrow is going to be a really big day for Donald Trump. I hate to say that, but politically, I think there's going to be a huge crowd down in Miami. I think he's then going to fly back up to New Jersey. He's got a big event and a speech planned in New Jersey. I think tomorrow, Tuesday, is going to be politically a knock it out of the park day for Donald Trump. It's going to be a spectacle, and he's going to be like this martyr, this savior. It's going to be a bad day for us, but a good day for him.
No, he will. The one thing you can give him credit for, when he's got center stage, he takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to see. It's everyone else's responsibility to pay attention and then to hold him accountable. Because as I've said before, this could be the first time in his life. But Joe, as always, I appreciate the thoughts. I look forward to the day where we can argue about policy and how we move the country forward, other than how do we stop it from burning. But one day
soon. Go to bed. You're sick.
Joe Walsh, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Good stuff, our good friend Joe Walsh. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1904. That was the day that 18,000 workers in Chicago's stockyards went out on strike. Work in the stockyards was often brutal and dangerous. Thousands of workers toiled in the yards, many of them immigrants from Eastern Europe. They worked butchering and processing the hogs and cattle raised in the American West into meat for distribution by rail to consumers across the country. The industry gave Chicago the nickname Hog Butcher for the World. In 1904, the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union organized a strike. The main demand was increased wages. The meatpacking companies were able to get scabs to cross the picket lines and act as strikebreakers. Most were African Americans and European immigrants. Many of these workers had not been organized by the union, which was dominated by the skilled German and Irish packing house workers. Novelist Upton Sinclair visited the stockyards during the strike to research conditions faced by the workers. In his famous novel, The Jungle, Sinclair gave a fictionalized account that captured the devastating impact of the scabs on the strike. He wrote, quote, "Such were the stockyards during the strike. While the unions watched in sullen despair, and the country clamored like a greedy child for its food, and the packers went grimly on their way. Each day they added new workers and could be more stern with the old ones, could put them on piecework and dismiss them if they did not keep pace." It was not until the 1930s when the stockyard unions took seriously the task of organizing across race, ethnic, and skill lines that they finally won a contract and gained the rights of union recognition.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Sorry, only one of us in the studio today. COVID has taken over my studio. Yeah, I finally got it, and I'm not happy with it. And again, I want to thank all the folks who did send out well wishes for a speedy recovery, and for the folks who did not, well, you know where you can go. That's the best I can got. I've got. So if you're calling, you know, the reality is no screeners to answer the phones. It's got to be me. Just is what it is. But here's the weird thing, and this is where I'm hoping in this moment that the rest of us, I get the red hats are never going to see the flaws. They're going to read the 47-page indictment that the DOJ put out. And again, this isn't a politically motivated deal. You know, I've had a bunch of people, this is Joe Biden going, no, this isn't Biden. Biden wants no part of this. Because as Joe Walsh said, this just strengthens Trump. This just makes Trump more the victim so he can continue to raise money off of and fleece the dim. But this has to happen. Is this how I want it to happen? No, I think this should have happened a while ago. But we're in a moment where this is, Lindsey Graham's right and some of the others are right. This is going to strengthen him. This is going to give him that ability to go, oh, they're coming after us. It's not just me. No, no, it's not me. It's you. And he said this already. This is going to be the shtick. It's not about me. No, no, I'm as pure as the driven snow. They want to silence all of you by taking me away from you. I mean, the narcissism that comes with this is pretty incredible. But that's who he is. And again, that's why the base loves him. And I know people who have looked at me in the face and said, don't care. Don't care that he's cheated on his wife multiple times. Don't care that he's taken food out of the mouths of children. Don't care that he stole the lollipop from the little girl on the street corner. Don't care. He's going to do the stuff I want. And that's, you know, all of the culture war stuff, all of the tax break stuff, all of that. So it's up to everyone else to say, look, you know, do we have a country that believes in the democratic process, that holds people accountable when they break the law, that the Lady Justice is blind? Or do we have what appears we're moving towards? An authoritarian state where the mob, if they don't get their way, are going to start smashing things. And this is the interesting moment that we're in. So let's real quick. I got 30 seconds. What's your name? What's on your mind? Real quick.